This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. For years, the notorious Bagram prison, run by the U.S. military north of Kabul, has been a major sore point with Afghans. The prison was rife with documented cases of abuse, including two homicides in 2002. But a U.S.-led task force is trying to change that image. In December, it closed Bagram, and the detainees were moved to a modern $60 million facility with a new name 6 miles away. More recently, the task force began releasing detainees it no longer deems a threat. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson traveled with the task force as it returned some of these prisoners to their homes in the Taliban heartland of southern Afghanistan.
The American C-130 takes off from Kabul's main runway, ferrying six Afghan prisoners who sit blindfolded with opaque goggles. Two are dropped off in Helmand province. The others fly on to neighboring Kandahar. All were captured by U.S. forces late last year. They were accused of belonging to the Taliban. Some 2 months later, U.S. military tribunals found there wasn't enough evidence to hold them. Another 2 months later, they are being sent home. Accompanying the prisoners who wear matching tunics and wool caps is U.S. Brigadier General Mark Martins. He's the deputy commander of Joint Task Force 435, which is revamping how U.S. forces handle detentions here.
Returning them to their communities helps us focus on those who are truly attacking the government and trying to bring it down by force of arms.
Martins says the task force in recent weeks has been releasing detainees like these at traditional shuras or councils convened by Afghan authorities. There, local residents can see firsthand their men were treated well, and that Afghan grievances about raids and detentions are taken seriously.
Families are there, friends are there, officials with various connections to the event are there, and it is emotional. It's a time of celebration, a time of, I've noticed, of commitment to avoiding it in the future, the detention that is, and the need for reintegration or reconciliation.
But on this day, things don't go as planned. In Helmand, no relatives or elders show up, nor did they hear at Camp Hero outside of Kandahar City, because neither family nor local officials were notified of the event. The ceremony is delayed until Kandahar Governor Turialai Wisa arrives. He says he had just boarded a commercial flight to Kabul for a holiday weekend when he was asked to deplane and come here.
Okay, so this was a little bit short notice.
Very short notice.
That's a problem for the detainees, who have nowhere to go. Also for the Americans, who won't release prisoners unless they have forms signed by village elders and families pledging to keep the men from breaking the law. Governor Wisa agrees to sign for the four men, whose thumbprints are on the forms.
And I urge them, if they are, have any profession, like in terms of teaching or training or any professional work, we will be happy to recruit them and just ask them to learn from their mistakes and try not to repeat that.
An Afghan colonel tells the detainees in Pashto what is expected of them. They slump on folding chairs, listening as he urges them to lead productive lives. He warns them not to commit crimes or help militants. He asks, "Do you agree?" To which they answer, "Yes," in Pashto. But Nur Muhammad, like the other detainees, denies doing anything wrong in the first place. The 28-year-old farmer gets teary as he recalls his arrest as he headed to Kandahar City in a truck last November. He says he still doesn't know why he was detained. The military says those traveling with him were suspected Taliban members. Mullah Muhammad Din, a pro-government cleric in Kandahar, complains there are too many innocent Afghans being arrested by coalition forces. But Mike Gottlieb, the task force's deputy civilian commander, is not bothered by the criticism.
I thought there were positive exchange with the mullahs and the detainees, and I thought there was a lot of positive conversation going on informally, not during the speeches, but outside of that as well. So all in all, I think it's still a good event, a good shura, but one that we'll learn from and make improvements on in the future.
Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson, NPR News, Kabul.